Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck, and I am the host of this show. Marjorie Meister Moonfire is my guest this evening, author of the book, Sowing Our Dreams, Realizing a Kinder, Healthier World. This book is a focused meditation that wakes the reader up to her own journey to self-discovery. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Marjorie Meister Moonfire. Hello, Marjorie.
Hello, Kate. What a pleasure to be here tonight with you, and hello to all our listeners. I'm looking forward to a very stimulating conversation with you.
Thank you. I know that as you and I do know each other from being on our mastermind call, and I think that the stimulating conversation is the least of what will happen here.
Yeah, the collective consciousness becomes activated.
That's right. So tell us about your beautiful book. I have a copy right here, Sowing Our Dreams, Realizing a Kinder, Healthier World. And I don't really think that there's a more important topic now than kindness and health and people's ability to really understand what that means and to incorporate that into their lives.
Right. I think that the book is very timely for our times, and that's why I did write it. I wrote it for you and for the readers, because it is a time where we need to tune in to our own selves, our inner voices, and just awaken more fully so that we can, at every turn, show more kindness to ourselves, to the people we're with, to our environment, and to take positive action in ensuring that we live a healthier life for ourselves in all aspects. Not just physical. Most people, I think, might tend to think, oh, it's just physical. No, it's physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, socially. It's for ourselves and for our communities, whether it's our families, our friends, the neighborhood, cities, and, you know, it keeps expanding to the entire world, because we are here together as one of the entire family, the family of humans. Yesterday was International Oneness Day, and I thought it was so apropos that we heard that message, connecting to each other. We are all interconnected. So this book was written with you, the reader, in mind, to be able to take life-affirming, life-sustaining action by making excellent decisions as best we can within our growth and our journey that we are walking right now.
Yeah. And the actual story of how you came, there's some very beautiful symbols. All of your
yes.
symbols are very, very beautiful in here. And I was wondering if you would give us exactly how you came about, the creative process that was involved with creating these symbols.
Yeah, it is mentioned in the book I wrote about, it's more than mentioned, the creative process. And it was critical to include that in the book because it ties in with the message, which is listening to our inner voices for guidance. And I happened to be in a place at I saw something, and the book tells you more about this. This thought came through my head immediately. It said, "So dreams." And sometimes, you know, we get those thoughts, and we know they're not just the everyday mundane thoughts. And so dreams, I went, "So dreams? I'm supposed to so dreams." And so that was the really the beginning, the very seed of the thought. And then I just started on a process for over 6 years trying to figure that out. How do I sow dreams? Now, mind you, I didn't for 6 years every day and night, you know, work on this, you know. But it eventually evolved through reading, reflections, even, you know, I play my flute. I went through a lot of research, experimentation, and contemplation, and eventually I found a way that I believed was the way to sow dreams, the way I, Marjorie Meister Moonfire, would sow the dream. And
yes,
this
and don't
book,
you think, I was going to say, isn't it possible, too, that when people think of dreams, they think of something that they do when they're asleep, but dreams in the way that you're describing it really encompasses so much more. It encompasses the waking and the sleeping and the whole life kind of perspective, I think.
Yes, that's a good point, Kate. I like the way you stated that. I thought of naming the book Sowing Visions. And, you know, just as maybe that would be a better title for, you know, my visions rather than dreams, like dream state, as you're saying. But for me, I like the word dreams because it is inclusive of visions. It's, you know, dreams that we, aspirations. And things we imagine as possible. And so, and since the original thought was so dreams, I really wanted to keep to that original idea.
Yes, because the whole thing that came up for you, sowing dreams, was a vision. And I can see how you might think, well, I get kind of confused with the words. But
right.
In this case, dreams, people have dreams in their lives, and they are afraid sometimes to fulfill them. Or they think that the childhood dreams that they may have had are not possible when they so-called grow up. And the word dreams is very important, I think, for this. And I think it's a perfect word for so much more than just the fact that it's a great word for the process that you're describing, is just because the vision that came up for you said, so dreams, and so you had to go with that for sure.
Right. But I think you're right that sometimes it's fear, sometimes it's just getting too busy and forgetting what we really wanted to do or what we feel is important for us to do on our time here on Earth in these bodies. And I feel that when people are encouraged to really reconnect with some of those ideas that, yes, I was meant to do this, and in a very wholesome manner, a wholesome approach to this is my purpose. This is the dream I want to take action in which to fulfill. And it is a way to encourage. It gives people hope. I believe it's very self-empowering. It empowers people to see the potential and that they're not alone. There are so many other people there to help you fulfill your dream. It's just
right.
Believing in yourself, number one. I learned that from my parents. Beautiful, beautiful human beings. And I was so blessed to have them as my parents. And they taught every single one of us, all their children, believe in yourself. And I did, and I still do. And I feel very fortunate that I believed enough to take the initiative to sit down and write this book.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope the book is an encouragement for other people to take those steps to create their dreams and co-create with other people dreams of a healthier life with better water, cleaner air, just so much from personal to global. Mm-hmm.
Now, you are an artist, obviously. These symbols are very beautifully artistic. And have you, the beautiful drawing of yourself on Facebook is just very beautiful, very colorful.
The painting, Marjorie Moonfire.
I love that. And have you always been a painter and an artist?
Well, that's an interesting question, because at this point in my life, I tend to look at myself as a human being who creates art and writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my purpose was meant to express that which needed to be expressed through me, through the gifts that were given to me, which are very artistic and my talent. So I remember from very young having crayons or a paintbrush, and even in grade one I had older sisters and brothers, and my parents were very much into the arts and architecture, and I remember painting this swan in a pond, and I wanted to use the French impressionistic technique. Mind you, I didn't know what it was. I just went, wow, that looks really good. I want to paint a swan in a pond that kind of glitters like the impressionists. And, the woman, I remember my teacher just kind of looking at me like, what, And so I always have done very artistic things and worked in the basement, my father's basement, just making stuff. I did not take any, except one semester of art in high school, because I was rather precocious most of, as a child and growing up. And so I really excelled at the sciences. So I was put into all these sciences, and which I thought was interesting too. I love math and chemistry.
Isn't that great? You are a very well-rounded person.
I'm very, very fortunate to have the interests and the gifts I was given to be able to have such a great, well-rounded approach to experience the world.
Yes.
And I was graduating early from high school, but I was just missing, I needed an extra English class. So, I guess I'll take an art class because I like making art. And from there, I realized that I wanted to go into it was my parents again who gave me guidance. And they said, have you thought about going into art? And I'm like, no, I hadn't, it's back then when I was a teenager, when you saw a counselor, they asked you if you wanted to go into the army, during the Vietnam War, or if you're a woman, be a nurse, which I see someone's cut and I feel a pain in my stomach. So I'm like,
none
of those options, you know. So I just then really started attending to the artistic expression through visual art, which is, you know, the painting and drawing. And mm-hmm. and I've always written poetry, well, not always, but since I was about 15 or 16. So, mm-hmm. yeah, and then I just decided I would be an artist, and, you know, I did. And, you know, I've shown in New York City and Chicago and Toronto, and, you know, I've been in the international shows, so... I made I've made my living
really.
That way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, oh my gosh, that's great.
So I'm a human being who makes art and writes.
Yes. And plays music.
And plays music. Not professionally anymore, and not as much as I used to. But I did perform professionally. I sang and played flute. That's why I loved your music, Kate, at the beginning. And while I was waiting for you to come on, I was just, it made me dance. It was beautiful. Thank you for
that. Yes, now that's Klaus D. Jensen, who is a musician in Denmark. And he created that music for women who were pregnant but were about who were had threatened pregnancies, so it would be they went into labor too early. So they use that music in antepartum units all across his country instead of when people, you know, listen to that music and they calm down. They don't watch terrible television programs that make them anxious or anything. You know, when people don't realize the importance of an atmosphere when they are undergoing a kind of a life-threatening situation. And he does, and he promoted that. And that's what that music is all about. So it's really, glad you liked it.
I'm so glad you told the background of that and you being involved with the natal care and
yes.
in... what would we call the unit to escape?
Well, it would be an antepartum unit. Or I work mm-hmm. in labor and delivery. I work in labor and delivery. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So that would be mm-hmm. so close to your heart.
Yes, I responded immediately to that. And I have his music for sale up in my blog. I am an affiliate, as they say you're supposed to make that clear. But of course I would be an affiliate for that. It's just wonderful. Mm-hmm. He's just a wonderful man, too. One time he came on the radio show a long time ago when I first started, and it was very kind of him to get on because it was very, very late, or I should say early morning at his time. So, yeah.
Wow.
It was great. Yeah, it's really interesting when you think about
beautiful
all of our contacts that we have with each other. Speaking of connection, human connection, that's what the internet is, I think. We have expanded our ability to connect exponentially with the internet and with our work. And I think, you know, I was thinking too, you know, how we as authors are learning to think about publishing in a different way than going to a publishing company or going to an agent, because those ways of publishing are becoming more and more difficult, and they are not, you know, they're. I think it's old paradigm, it's old world, it's just going out. And mm-hmm. something like self-publishing or Amazon, who is publishing, you know, they have these self-publishing platforms
yes.
where we can all have a voice.
Right.
And I think democracy is what exists on the internet. Real democracy exists mm-hmm. on the internet. Is my philosophy for the day.
Thank you. Yeah, there is such an opportunity for different perspectives, different voices, different stories to be told, and that just widens our horizons. And
it does.
It builds compassion. It has that ability. I mean, there are bad things, too. It can be bad influence. But when we're focused on the positive effect of it, as you said, it's connecting people exponentially. And I would not have met you had it not been for the Internet, because we met through Christine Closer's amazing, wonderful course, the Transformational Author Experience.
Yes.
And and we met other, I keep meeting even more people who are coming from that course and showing up on Facebook and, you know, sharing resources, sharing encouragement and their own stories, some of them so heartfelt. It's just so moving.
It really is. And the Kindle platform is something that we don't talk about as much as we really need to, because people really, you know, you can fill your book up, you can fill your house up, your barn up, you can fill everything up with books. So the Kindle is a revolutionary idea so that you don't have to buy books, because we can buy far too many books. And people can really, you know, read just as intensely with a Kindle as they can with anything else. And it's just great not to, you know, destroy trees also.
Definitely, that is an aspect of it. At the same time, as an artist and an author of this particular small book, I look at, because each one is handmade and it is used with recycled paper.
Yes.
And for
me, I think that's wonderful. I think what you're saying is also wonderful, because what you're saying is that there are, to have a handmade book like this is completely unusual. So say a little bit more about that. That's fascinating to me.
Well, I wanted the book to be small, because I've moved several times in my life, and more people, being more mobile, move, you know, quite often. And the books that were really closest to my heart, you know, I wanted to take them with me. And there were a series of small books from the National Museum of Art in Washington, D.C. And I just felt, and they were inspirational books, and I just felt that it was so easy to pack when I moved. And I wanted something that people could hold to themselves, almost like a talisman. Like, I won't go so far as to say a sculpture, because in the field of book art, my book is, you know, a hand-bound book.
Right.
Yeah, and not something else. And I wanted it small because I thought, you know, when you're traveling, you can throw it in the suitcase or your knapsack, or if you're on the when you're on the subway or a bus or something, you can open it up. You could throw it in your purse, your attaché case. And I wanted it also to be easily put on a bedside table. And so people could open it randomly, and just it's mobile and easily accessible to them. And so I deliberately made this small book, which, believe me, it was I was writing so much I had to keep cut and making it succinct, which was a challenge. One of the things I like to share with you is I've received a number of handwritten letters from people who have my book, who bought my book. And one woman, she said she had going through a very challenging time, just going through a divorce, and she said, "I keep your book on my bedside, so every night when I go to bed, I can open it up, and I open it up for strength and sustenance."
Isn't that beautiful?
Oh my gosh. That's just so beautiful. And she took the time to handwrite that. I mean, how many people nowadays handwrite something, you know, put it in an envelope, you have to address the envelope, get a stamp, and get it to a post office.
Yes. Yes.
And I've received a number of handwritten letters from this book of how it has touched people's lives. It's just so tight. I'm obviously keeping all of them. And,
oh, yes.
It's like the good old days, isn't it? It's like the good old days of when people were writing books.
I still know some of the – we have a poet friend who would never write on the computer. He's in his 80s, and he writes with a typewriter. He would never – it's very funny, but – what is so fascinating, he believed, in the old days, or I should say even say 30 years ago and later or earlier, there was a need to have a correspondence with the people who read your books. And and then they developed correspondences with all of the other, their fellow artists and writers. And
yes.
So forth.
There's even books out with those letters.
Yes, like the Thomas Merton.
Artists and writers.
Like, Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what it reminds me of, because that kind of thing is almost, you know, a lost art.
Right. It is becoming a lost art. And mind you, I didn't hand sew it. At first I was going to. I'm like, this is never going to happen. I don't have the patience to make hundreds of hand-bound books. It's like,
I love the idea.
And that'll be it. Like, get real. And, you know, the whole idea was to get it, you know, my art and the message and the connection that I believe my art, that it connects people to their inner voices. I wanted to go beyond the art gallery, because a lot of people don't go into art galleries. In some places you have to pay to get into an art gallery, or they're in cities or places of neighborhoods that some people just don't have the accessibility to go to an art gallery, or they feel intimidated. So I've been putting more of my art, like public art. I have some murals, professional murals, so, you know, people can see it outdoors. They're permanent. And
oh, my gosh, that's wonderful.
The book would be a perfect way of getting it more for more people to see it, because the more people who see it, the more people will benefit. And then collectively, which is part of what the book talks about, is collectively we increase the possibilities. The synergy is increased, and the potentials are increased, and just so much more can be created when more people are thinking on some of the same lines, or at least focused in their own way with their unique thoughts on ideas of kindness and health, and just basically having a happier, better world.
You know, I don't want to embarrass you at all, but, and I don't think you would be embarrassed, but, you know, there is a tremendous problem that women are having more and more with infertility. And as soon as I saw your beautiful symbols, they remind me of fertility symbols. Like, I don't know if that comes up for you at all and any of the stuff.
I think about three things come into mind. I'll start with one and saying, I could see, knowing you how as much as I know you and with your background, that you would see that into the symbols. The beauty of the symbols are people take their life experience, their associations to and the way they connect to the world, and they see different things in the symbols that relate to their life. So I could see the fertility.
What have other people said?
But there
that
are
they
other
see?
People who have said that, and especially women. Yes. And I also am connected to my whole self in all aspects. And even when I was much younger, one of the shows that I had for International Women's Day, I think that was 2000 and, I don't know, early 2000s, and it was Fertility of Body, Mind, and Soul. I really do think connecting, like, what is the greatest creation a woman for me, if you're able to physically create. I have two children. I'm a grandma now. All my art, everything I've written, for me personally, having co-created children that came out of my body, and they're like, oh my God, like, what a miracle. Like, look at this. And you look at, they are the purest of the pure. They're, to me, the closest I could get to God in experiencing that pure love and just all-encompassing sense of acceptance. And so, you know, I do feel that the creative process does involve at times, and for some people more than others, but it does involve our physical, creative, fertile self. And that's what one of the chapters, I forgot the title of the chapter, was Birthing the Symbols, or the symbols are birthed. And Birthing the Symbols, that's the name of the chapter. And for me as a woman, it was like all these ideas, all this research, all this searching, soul searching, really going deeply and examining and experimenting. And in the end, when it all synthesized and internalized, what occurred was it was like everything was gestating until it was fully mature, and then it birthed. And it didn't birth through my birthing canal. It birthed through my hands connected to a paintbrush. And it is the fertility of imagination of all.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of authors do say, and a lot of artists and musicians do say, that their art is, there's a gestational period, and even if somebody, even if it takes many years to create a piece of work, it seems to be a timeless element, and that there is this birthing thing that is going on.
Yes.
For all of us who are on this journey.
I think everyone has that inside them.
Yes, but your symbols could really speak to women and some of the things that they have to face in their lives. And I think women, I think certainly men would love these symbols too, but I think that you could promote your book as a in that line of thinking, however way you would want to. I mean, there's just a lot of ways that we can promote our work, but I think that women would especially love it. And I have, I don't work with women with fertility issues, but I know a lot of women who do have fertility issues, and it seems like to me that if they would meditate on those symbols, that maybe it would help bring life into their reproductive, their reproductive organs.
Mm-hmm.
Just because
that's
a friend of mine.
That's very interesting. Yes.
Yeah, a friend of mine is going through very major infertility issues, mm-hmm. and going to an acupuncturist and so forth. And as a result of the acupuncture, she felt this pulse in her, like her ovaries and her, probably her vagina and the whole that whole area that she had never felt before. And it seems like those symbols could elicit that kind of life force in areas of the body that would need to have that life in them if somebody would wants to reproduce and can't.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I just feel
we could get those symbols
that.
To those women and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be awesome. Like some of them,
mm-hmm.
yeah. One of the things that I've done with the symbols too is I've made wall hangings from rice paper, and I use Chinese ink, and then they have bamboo ones. But I've had people buy the ones that they most are drawn to or feel that they will get the most healing from. I could see that, maybe the woman you're talking about, a particular symbol may be the one that, for her to have as a hanging or in the book, open and return to.
Mm-hmm.
to focus on, something to meditate on. If that did that, that would talk about a gift from God. Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely. I felt that as soon as I saw the book.
Absolutely.
As soon as I looked at it.
Wow. That's exciting to hear about that. If it would, and again, that's a perfect example of co-creating by focusing on these symbols. You thought of a new idea of how someone might benefit from the symbol. That never would have entered me. And one of the things that the book states is in the creative process, like for me, I started I went through my creative process, but then I hand that over to you, the reader, or with the art, you, the viewer, and
mm-hmm.
then you continue the creative process, like because now your views, your interactions, your responses, your perspectives, your inner voice is getting more things than I could ever do on my own. And it just keeps, it starts permutating. And it's just absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, I think symbols, symbols in the form of these beautiful forms that you have created will speak to everybody in different ways, of course. So,
mm-hmm.
but they are healing symbols. And
they are.
Yes, and however, it reminds me of, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, the Rorschach, is that it?
Yes.
Symbols where,
mm-hmm.
where people would look at them and see, everybody would see something different in them.
Right. Yeah, it does have that to the end. One of the things that states in the book, too, is so many times, like I've had, on display, with wall hangings, and I also make jewelry and tote bag, different things with the symbols, just so more people would have exposure to them and benefit
mm-hmm.
from them. And people say, what language is that? What language is that? And, this one woman who is a healer and a medium, she said it's soul language. And actually,
soul
I
language.
Had,
yeah.
yeah. And uh-huh. one of the, there was a healing space here in town, and they had two healing rooms, and they put, I think it was 5 or 6 large wall hangings of different particular symbols.
Mm-hmm.
And these symbols, for people who are listening, they they look, they're just black against, in the book there on this beautiful gold, like ancient gold parchment paper.
Yes, yeah.
But on it, they're just, they're painted with, you know, the black ink. So it looks, has that oriental, eastern influence in their expression, in the visual appearance. And, but the healers and the people going into that healing space, so they felt the energy coming off of those message, those symbols, those wall hangings. And when they did, unfortunately, for me and other people, they the place, they moved to a different town. And we took out, we were, you know, taking, I was helping them take down the wall hangings, and one, it was like clung to, it didn't, it was like it had its own mind, it didn't want to, it seemed like it needed to be there, and that one was called Peace to You and to All the World, and I thought, isn't that interesting?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, so they have a life of their own, right? And they speak to you. They actually have, you know, they communicate with you.
Yes. And that's why, you know, I call them telepathic pictographs. A pictograph is, you know, a symbol. And it's more of a art term. And you know, it's through studies of symbols and language development and archaeology. And I've just really been drawn to symbols. And, you know, I thought, well, maybe I could write a language or, you know, come up with something. And it tells you more, you know, in the book about that. But, yeah, I am in awe.
So I think that you have a real career ahead of you of writing books with symbols in them.
Well,
if it's something you wanted to do, because...
Right.
It's just something that people really respond to. It's it speaks to somehow the collective unconscious. It,
exactly.
There's archetype. It's an archetypal kind of you know, inner something very deeply inner is moved when they see things that like these symbols, and it, you know, it helps people want to create their own symbols. It helps people become more creative themselves. And, I think that...
Well, I don't know about...
It doesn't bore you in any way. I think that would be something.
Oh, no,
I can tell you're very, very inspired by this. So,
yeah, I think the idea of... I have actually made one other symbol after I wrote the book, and I've had some people approach me and ask me to create symbols with particular messages. So... I do plan in the future to pursue that. And that would be included. When I wrote this small book, at one point I realized I was writing two different books. And I couldn't write this little book. Like, it would get too big, right? So I have started the second book, which gives... you know, more descriptions and examples of my experiences that were very synchronistic of what was going on at the time when I was making writing the book and preparing for the first launching of the symbols. And other people's experiences, as well as I wanted to include more research and references for people. And I thought that's a like, you know, a much larger book, so it has to be totally separate. But I would still include, of course, the symbols, but I would also include any new ones that are created from, you know, this time forward. It's pretty interesting that, you
it
know,
is,
from,
it is.
From that moment of so dreams to what I've experienced to now being on this radio show with you, Kate, and talking about it. And last week I had a book signing and looking at people's eyes and the look
on
their faces was just like, wow, this, I'm really doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Oh my gosh, what a beautiful validation.
Yeah, it truly, truly was. And there's just so much more in me that will be coming out, and it takes time. And I remember Michael Robin Collins, our colleague and friend,
yes,
who wrote Ushering in the Golden Age. And he said to me once, time is your friend. And I'm like, yes.
Isn't that beautiful? He's so wise and wonderful. I mean,
he has a way
about him that, time is your friend, for instance. It
mm-hmm.
makes you feel like, time isn't running out. You know, I'm not on some sort of time schedule that is going to throw me into the wolves or anything like that,
yeah,
you know.
Right. I mean, people, you know, it may be, but it's the whole concept. He comes up with these nuggets of wisdom that are so timely and apropos for the moment, and he comes out so gently with them to relax a person, and, you know, it's just wonderful.
Yes. I can hardly wait to read his book.
Yes, well, it's getting closer to the press as we speak, so.
Might be even already published by this week or something.
Yeah,
but
we'll be getting an update.
Yes, now, mm-hmm. the website, your website is MarjorieMeister.com.
Right.
And I just wanted to, Moonfire, but it's Marjorie, MEISTER.com.
Yes, and I'll spell Marjorie, too, because there's different ways people spell Marjorie. And also,
mm-hmm.
There's no www. It's just right after the http://. It's
okay.
MarjorieMeister.com. And that takes you to my website that has, I think there's, I can't remember how many galleries, maybe 5 galleries of my art. And the book, of course, is there. And there's a link to a blog I'm launching as well.
Good.
And there's also a link to, it's called Sewing Dreams, Thought as Matter. And that has all the different products specifically with those, all the different symbols, and everything is handmade, hand painted. Everything is, made with
that's
love.
That's a beautiful page. That's a beautiful page. I'm looking at all of this right now.
Oh, you are?
And I see your artwork. You have some beautiful jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly you could think about putting those symbols on cards to send out to people, because I really think that even though we think that writing letters in the mail with stamps is a lost art, if people would start writing letters and send out 2 or 3 a week, I think we could save the whole postal service that way.
Right, that's true. And actually, I have cards. I have about, 30 different cards, not with those symbols, but different images. Some that you see on my website, but some that aren't on the website. It's only on the cards, they're either paintings that were sold and I hold copyright, or they're from my personal collection.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's all coming. It's all developing. I mean, again, Ryan Eliason, who was on the Transformational Author Experience with Christine Closer,
he
talked about the multi-stream social entrepreneur. And he really has such wonderful ideas and resources, and he really has given me a lot of ideas of how I can get this multi-stream. So people do see all, like, what I've done, Kate, for almost 40 years is I've just made really a lot of art, and I haven't done much marketing and showing. So now I'm putting my creative energies into bringing it to other people. So, like, what's the sense unless other people can also, you know, see and benefit from it? So,
Don't you feel like we're entering a renaissance period in the world?
Yeah.
Where people, like, what you just described is really a renaissance kind of feeling to it. And, and no longer do we have to wait for a book publisher to pick up. I just had this revelation about book publishing. And it all came about by reading a tweet. I thought, you know, I'm going to start reading tweets and see who I can meet today, kind of thing. And I met this gentleman who talked about how he went to one of those conferences where people try to, when they go to an agent at these writers' conferences and try to, you know, try to sell their book idea. It's some sort of
a conference.
You know,
like, I don't know what it's called. But
it's
like
an elevator speech that you would have encapsulated that you would try to get their attention in a few minutes. Well, anyway, this agent, he wrote a blog post that he was referring to in the tweet. So I went over and read this thing, and this agent really made him think that he was going to pick up his book, but he didn't. And then he self-published the book, and then he has the book on Amazon, and he just can't believe, you know, he goes to Amazon and stares at the book there, and he's just like transfixed with the whole idea of being a published author. And that's the whole thing. That is the whole thing that we can, in this revolutionary period that we're in, with all of this wonderful, the people are speaking, there is a renaissance of love. The word revolution has love in it spelled backwards.
Yeah.
And there's just so much loving all of humanity, the poor, the indigent, the homeless, you know. And we love each other, and there is this renaissance of creativity. So we don't have to wait for somebody to pick up our work. We can write blogs, and we can publish it through Amazon, and we can do all kinds of promotional work to help other people promote their work. That's always a very big plus, in my opinion. So it's really a wonderful time that we have here to express ourselves and to share our expressions and to, you know, just encompass all of it in our daily lives.
It is quite phenomenal. I mean, the information age and all the technology has opened up so much. And again, I think like you were saying, it's so empowering. You can take self-initiative. There are so many resources on the internet. My book was self-published I started my own publishing company, and I got a block of ISBNs to start having my work published, and my daughter is a published poet, and she's written her first novel, and I have nieces and nephews, and, you know, I thought, well, for myself and for them too. And I just, you know, it was so easy. I want to be a publishing company. I got my business. I paid for the name. I paid, you know, for my license. I went to here in Canada, the National Library, and you apply, you say, I'm this publishing company, And they give you a block of numbers. And,
oh, that's so cool.
And it really is. And then, you know, taking courses and connecting with people like Christine Kozer, Ryan Eliason, Marnie, what's her last name?
She's is it on Pearson a course. Or, oh, is it Pearson or something? No. Would that be
I'm
the woman
not sure,
on,
but there's just on, so many
yeah,
resources.
There are so many people, yeah.
And people on Facebook who are so, everybody, you know, not everybody, but so many people are willing to cooperate and share rather than compete, which, again, in my book, you know, talks briefly at, it's that myth of competition
that
creates problems. And if anyone's read any of Bruce Lipton's work, and in his work in biology and cell biology, it is actually through cooperation that survival exists at the cellular level, at other levels. It's just
oh my
things
gosh,
got
that's so
twisted.
True.
Things
when
got
you think about the cellular level. And
yep.
how the cells communicate and how they, it's almost like a dance of life and of give and take. It really goes against the grain of your psyche to be competing.
Right.
And also those emotions of envy and jealousy and I want, you can't have are all very lower vibrational fields. I don't know if you're familiar with the David Hawkins work. Of the consciousness scale, where if we learn to rise our vibrations, which is so what's going on so much in this world right now, that will save the planet, that will save the human race. You can't just have all of these low base emotional realms going on, because that will just take down the whole human race. But you don't need everybody to do it. You have a few people doing it with your book, you know, the kind of transformational authors that Christine Kozer attracted, and that will bring up the planetary vibration and will actually save the human race from destruction.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that. I can see that. I really, when I read his work, I was just amazed by the wisdom of that, and I believe it.
Well,
like,
there's
for instance,
a whole...
Yeah, just like the saints, just having a few saints alive at any one time can bring up the vibrational field of the whole planet.
Wow.
Anyway, go ahead.
Well, two things. First, in meditation, back when I first started meditating formally, I took a course in transcendental meditation that Maharishi Mahesh Yogi was teaching, and his students, close students, were certified to teach. And there's research out that his foundation back in the early 70s had published. And again, part of it, not just the biological transformation that meditation, you know, that deep state of rest, and the changes of brain waves, the things like that, but they were doing studies and showing that when 10% of a particular community was meditating, it made a huge difference in the entire community.
I totally believe it.
What you're saying makes so much sense. It's like, well, that would make sense, you know, not just in you know, raising awareness or increasing awareness, and which leads to greater kindness and subtleties of kindness and health, but that actual vibration that makes so much sense. That's a beautiful
concept. It truly does.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, well, we live in a great time.
I don't know if you can believe this, but we've come to the end of the show.
Wow. Well, it passed quickly, and I surely hope for those who are listening or for those who will be coming to the archives, I thank you all for listening, and I hope the words are that you heard tonight are speaking to you, for you to hear what it is you are to hear for yourself and for your journey, and to feel in your heart so that you will express that which needs to be expressed through you in particular.
And let us not forget, again, your website is www. No, it isn't.
No,
it's
www. Just Marjorie.
Yeah, MarjorieMeister.com. MarjorieMeister.com.
Correct.
And
thank you so
much. I think
much.
You can really see those beautiful symbols there, and it's just very, very beautiful. And
wow.
I appreciate your being here with me tonight, and certainly
that
we can.
My pleasure.
Do it again. That would really be fun.
I'm up for it. Yes, that's. we've come up with some great ideas, and I want people to also know that Kate is working on a book that will also be coming out for you in your journey. And I'm really excited and waiting for it to be written and then published and in my hands.
I keep changing the title.
It's okay.
Yeah, it is. Now it's called Prayer Prescriptions.
Yeah.
Because, and I keep changing the other half of the wonderful part of the title. But I think it's, spiritual. Well, I forget right now. I'll tell you about that later.
Another show.
Another show, yeah. Next week. Okay. Thank you so much, Marjorie.
Okay, thanks so much, Kate. It was a pleasure.
And enjoyed this immensely. And I will get everybody to listen. I'll promote
thank
the archive.
Thank you so much,
yeah,
Kate.
Thank you.
All
thank
the
you,
best
dear.
To you. Okay.
Bless you.
Bless you.
And I'm going to play another little longer version of the
lovely.
Music for Mother and Child. So just stay and listen for a little bit.
I
here
will.
It is.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Here it is. Bye-bye.